BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Joe.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Master. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. Obviously, I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Love those damn bagpipes. This is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way once again. And with me tonight we have Spug.
Shh. Just let the pipes play, Omega.
You like those pipes, don't you?
I do.
I like him too, but I have other assholes to introduce.
Fuck them! Okay, continue.
Okay. Playing the part of an Australian, the Floridian, Alan Wojcik.
I am not a Floridian. I just live down here with you crazies. I'm a very happy native New Yorker whose Jets team won, but Giants team lost.
Face it, you live with me in the phallic state.
I've never heard it refer to that. That's pretty good. I like that. The
sooner you come to terms with it, the better. And yeah. Of course, leading the way, as always, the one and only, thank God for that, Tim Stein.
What are you talking about? I'm not here tonight.
Oh, well, damn. Hmm. It just ruins my whole intro then. But where are you then?
I'm over there.
You're over there.
I'm not here. I'm there.
Well, stop being there and get over here.
I'm text messaging on my phone. It's a very important series of conversations I've got going with about 12 people at the same freaking time. Very, very important. It deals with Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Don't you know what's happening Thursday night?
TNA's putting on a really bad TV show.
Oh, we got something better going than that. I mean, like, forget TNA. We got a good show going on Thursday.
That's fine. I forget about TNA a lot.
Well, good. But don't forget about Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the second segment after our first commercial break. I just want to say a couple things about it, and it's going to be quite an interesting night. But that being said, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Did we just lose somebody?
I think we lost Alan.
I didn't think I pissed him off yet.
He couldn't take handling realizing that he was a Floridian.
Well, maybe it was just you pissing him off calling Florida the phallus-shaped state. Who knows?
It is the phallus-shaped state.
Well, yeah, I know it's the phallus-shaped state. I mean, Alan didn't need to take offense to that. It's the truth.
Alan?
I'm here, thank God.
There you are.
Hello, Alan.
What happened?
Hello, Ellen.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Stein.
Okay, now do an Australian, Ellen.
Can I talk like this for the rest of the night and be the vice president of talent stupidity? I mean, relations?
No, because no. I don't think anybody can be that not. Fucking dumb and screw shit up.
Make a good Ted bad. Theodore Logan.
And everybody wonders, and it's the funniest thing, I've known his voice for years, and everybody wondered why I joke around on the internet, and I've joked around on the new show, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, why I call him Johnny Laryngitis. And everybody knows why.
And I am Bill S. Sorry. Preston Esquire III.
Cool, dude. Does that make
Excellent!
Does that make us all members of Wild Cat?
And together we are...
Wild
Stallions!
Stallions.
Fag.
My Skype
The future's gonna rule us. We're gonna rule the future, dudes.
Hey, be excellent to each other.
But George Carlin won't be there, man.
Party on, dudes!
It's time travel. He will be there.
That movie was on last night, and I actually sat and watched it.
It's one of my favorite movies. One of my two of my favorite movies.
It's so dumb. Like, it's so fucking dumb, but it's so good.
It's so dumb, it's good, Spud. Or it's so good, it's dumb.
No, it's just so dumb. It's actually good. That's what's pathetic about that movie.
It's a good, bad movie.
Remember the car keys. Tis priceless.
Do we have to talk about wrestling? Can we just talk about Bill and Ted for a while?
You want to talk about the Excellent Adventure or the Bogus Journey?
Excellent Adventure, because I thought Bonus Journey was just a bad movie in general.
No. Bogus Journey was good on its own. It had some definite moments. Beating the fuck out of Death in all of these games.
Okay.
Best 5 out of 7?
5 out of 7. 5 out of 7? Damn right.
4 out of 7, whatever.
Damn right!
4 out of 7, damn right.
Okay, but how many of you...
Bill Sadler is always playing bad guys in movies.
How many of you have actually seen the cartoon, though?
Bill and Ted had a
cartoon. Oh, God!
Yep. Bill and Ted had a cartoon.
It wasn't a very long-run cartoon.
No, one run.
I never saw the cartoon.
It's for the best.
I think that only ran for, what, like 2 or 3 seasons, Omega?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it only got 2 seasons. If that.
You guys remember Bob and Doug McKenzie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Alan
I remember Spuds McKenzie.
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
He was a dog. Bob and Doug McKenzie were on SCTV, and they were, to quote, quote-unquote, two hosers from the Great White North, eh?
Were those the beer guys that tried to...
They had a movie called Strange Brew.
Awesome movie with Max von Sydow.
Yep.
I remember a Saturday Night Live skit with Rick Moranis and somebody else.
Okay, now you sure it's Saturday Night Live? Because they did SCTV. Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas were Bob.
No, it was SCTV.
I remember this skit, and they did they eventually used it for a beer commercial.
Yeah, they wore tubes
and
they had a picture of the Great White North on the wall behind them, and they're surrounded with 2 4s of beer cases. That was Bob and Doug.
Yeah, I know, but now that I think about it, because once you said the name, I was like, I know that name.
Okay, Bob and Doug McKenzie were Wayne's World or Bill and Ted of the early 80s.
No. You don't compare anything to Wayne's World, my friend.
No, but seriously. I mean, that's what it was, right? The early 80s. Now, listen now. The early 80s was Bob and Doug. The late 80s, or mid-late 80s, were Bill and Ted. And then the early 90s were Wayne and Garth.
No, the late 80s, early 90s was Bill and Ted. Like, Bill and Ted came out, 90, 91.
No, it didn't. It was out in the mid-80s, dude.
No.
Yeah.
No, shut up.
Yeah. Because I was still in grade fucking 12 when it came out.
You know, there's an age joke there to be made.
Yeah, well, don't bother because
and
it's
I'm
starting
just
to get really old. is just starting to get really fucking old, okay? You guys say, oh, he's the old guy. I'm not old. My dad's old.
Methuselah, listen.
Methuselah, fuck you.
The most intelligent wrestling radio show in the market today, kids. You got it right here.
Hey, hey, fuck, we might just have had the most entertaining segment we've had in the last month.
Why? Because I refuse
to talk
about the
edited version of that. I just finished almost watching the edited version of The Hangover to come watch you guys and you guys.
Fuck the edited version of The Hangover. You've got 15 minutes of movie if you edit.
How that movie even is on TBS right now with the edited version. I'm just like,
no, seriously,
oh
man.
Oh my God. It's like watching the edited version of Slapshot from back in the day.
No, seriously, Alan. I mean, edited for TV, The Hangover, you've got 15 fucking minutes of movie. Forget it, man.
Hey, TNA had 31 minutes and 2 seconds of wrestling the other night, so it's not bad.
Shocking.
Are you serious? They had, what, 4 matches?
4 or 5, and a lot of girls in bikinis, and almost felt like they were at Rachel's over by Orlando Airport instead of at, oh yeah, wrestling program.
Okay, Spug is refusing to talk wrestling, but we started the night with Roddy Piper's bagpipe music. You got it. We got to talk Roddy Piper, Spug.
That's fine.
Yeah, you know, telling John Cena to tell the fans how he really feels. What do you think?
I wish they would just turn him heel.
Are they going to turn him heel, Alan?
I hope.
What do we say the betting pool on this is? We were hoping by the Rumble, he's gotta go heel. It's at least the Rumble. You can't drag this anymore. I mean, the crowd itself, this, and I brought this up Tuesday with Spug, this almost feels like Hulk Hogan of 1984, 95, almost 96 when he was in WCW. And that he was in that mode of, you're always gonna have your hardcore audience that's gonna love Hulk Hogan, or in this case, John Cena. That little kid, like he pointed at the little kid sitting on the rail there. That's the thing that's stopping this from going. Spug and I somewhat agree on this. Does WWE want to stop the Cena money train? Because yeah, Punk's selling shirts, and
but Punk's not a heel,
and I'm sure other people could. Right, but he was. Now he isn't. Because now all of a sudden, being straight edge is cool again. A few months ago, it was straight edge was bad. So, but that's the thing. Do you want to stop the Cena money train and turn this guy heel? I mean, the crowd is doing it, but I don't know.
I don't know. If they keep doing what they've been doing with Punk, I will predict by the middle of May, his merchandise is going to start to way outsell Cena's merch.
He is already outselling him. I think they said that he's the number one seller right now for everybody.
Well, you gotta go for it.
Mace had said it one of the last times I talked to him, that shirt with the Chicago, the Illinois flag on it that he wore was backordered so much that it took Mace forever to get his shirt.
Yeah,
but that was before the new Cena one.
Alan, here's the thing, okay? They gotta give him more than just a couple of months, you know? It's like being a Van Halen versus Rockwell. Multi-platinum album sellers versus one-hit wonders. He's got to prove his longevity. That's why I'm saying the middle of May. The middle of May. Because, yeah, you can outsell for a week or a month, but can you consistently do it month in and month out? That's the thing. And if Punk and his merchandise consistently beat the fuck out of Cena's merch, Cena's going heel right after WrestleMania. Or at WrestleMania against The Rock.
I think it's gotta be done before then, cause you give him enough time to build up his character, as opposed to, there's certain situations where it works. Everybody remembers WrestleMania 13, Steve Austin and Bret Hart flip-flopped in the match itself. I don't know if you could pull that off, Omega, and with Cena, and we've seen it over the last few months. He's been booed. He was obviously, when he wrestled Punk in Chicago, he was getting booed out of the building. As we talked, Spug and I talked about, the Madison Square Garden crowd is going to do whatever the hell it wants, and he's public enemy number one there in New York. That's the same, some of that's the same audience that, what was it, One Night Stand, 06 was the night that Van Damme won the belt and everybody had the signs.
You know, yeah, that's the riot. Second One Night Stand.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this here?
It's,
yeah, I mean, this is, I say it's got to happen by the Rumble.
Yeah, it's got to happen before then. You have to have time to build up Cena as an actual official heel. That way you're not going into Mania wondering, who do I cheer for? Because, you know, with The Rock coming back, with it being Mania, and the last time they tried to turn Rock heel, it did not work in the least. So you know it's not going to be him. Here's the thing about Cena. Look how much, you know, we in the internet wrestling community mock John Cena to begin with. Look at how, look at how much, they kind of play on just how much booze he gets as along with how many cheers. Keep in mind, yeah, Cena's selling shirts, but he's been a face for freaking ever.
Ever.
You know, at some point, it just starts to slow down. You know, you don't have the momentum to keep up the same character. It gets stale. It gets worn out. You're tired. The audience gets tired of seeing the prerequisite John Cena t-shirt, the new one this month with a new inspirational catchphrase printed on across the front. It's done. It just gets tiring. Turning heel is not just a way, turning heel is not just a matter of, we gotta give him something new to do, no one's going to expect this. It's also to give him a break from being the same exact guy, and when he does become a face again, inevitably, his merch will sell even bigger than it did before, because there's been such a lull. It really is a kind of, it is the old adage of, what am I trying to get at here? Yeah.
How many times can the good guy save the girl on the railroad tracks? And let me jump in real quick here, because this is a rarity. Tim can reference to this, and Spug me too. Raise your hand and name me at least five people that have been a babyface from day one that they started in wrestling to the day they left. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is probably one of the only people I can think of that did it.
Dusty Rhodes, I don't remember Dusty.
He's got to do this more.
Actually,
oh yeah,
Dusty,
he was back in the 70s.
Dusty was
a
really good heel in
the Texas Outlaws. Like,
didn't he momentarily turn heel during
NWO?
Well, I was going to say just even recently when he was backing up Cody.
Yeah, he sided with Cody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that wasn't this, really a heel thing as it was pushing his son's heel turn.
Magnum TA was never a heel.
I think Magnum didn't have that long a career. That's unfortunate, though. I know that.
Technically Alan Magnum does count. He had a long enough career.
But I'm asking, I said name at least five people for me. It's very hard to do. So Magnum's there. There's some people that have been always heel through their career. Ravishing Rick Rude comes to mind. I don't remember Rick Rude ever being a babyface. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of John Cena being a heel just because and I hate to bring TNA into this conversation because Spud can't stand the company in certain aspects, but this Cena situation kind of reminds me of AJ Styles, that AJ has stayed relevant because he has gone heel for a little while in certain aspects. He went heel under the Vince Russo era in Nashville, then he became a face again, and it worked. Kurt Angle did it for a little while. He went heel with the Man of the Mafia, then he was kind of a face, now he's a heel again. I like the idea of a heel John Cena because it gives him fresh matchups. He can now be a heel and wrestle Kofi Kingston. He can wrestle so many other people. That's the only reason why I'd like to see a heel John Cena. I don't know if Tim feels the same way or not.
Let me ask everybody on the panel. We'll start with Omega, go to Spug, and then you have the last word on this question, Alan. John Cena turning heel. Do you start it out with him and going back to Thugonomics and cutting rap promos on his opponents or potential opponents? Omega.
No. because it's the rap promos that got him over as a face to begin with. It was what was making him popular. It's why they turned him face to begin with, because everyone started to cheer for them. They really dug how fresh and unique they were. Honestly, I'm not sure what you do with Cena as a heel, because he's been a face for so freaking long.
Okay. You know? Okay, Spud.
No, and you almost go the Hulk Hogan route. You have him go against all of the little kiddies and the girls and all of that. And maybe even side with Alberto Del Rio or something. Hmm. I don't know, but you don't go back to the Thuganomics.
Okay, Alan.
I could see him sizing up to someone like The Miz that could go, you know what? I see now what you were talking about with these fans, and I can see it. I don't see him with Del Rio. Miz just seems like a better fit for me, and I could totally see him. I kind of like what Spug is saying there, that he gets this egomaniacal thing of I've become bigger than Steve Austin. I've become bigger than Hulk Hogan. I am the WWE type thing.
The way it's set up right now, you know, look who's, look who's the main force against Laurinaitis right now. It's CM Punk. You know, if you make Cena the corporate sellout this whole time that aligned himself with Laurinaitis, you'd make an instant heel out of him.
Yeah, but you'd get the, I don't think you could do it the right way with Laurinaitis. You'd get a bad kind of heat. Personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. I think
it is a risk, but at the same time, it feels like he can still stay independent. He doesn't have to hook up with anyone like The Miz or Del Rio, who he's had very bitter rivalries with. You know, it gives him a fresh alliance, and it gives Laurinaitis a foothold with his power that, okay, the number one guy in the business is in my back pocket. So you kind of work both of them as a heel that way.
Well, here's my opinion with it is that, yeah, you could get fresh matchups and stuff, but eventually what's going to happen with Laurinaitis as, like, you know, the power broker in that particular situation, is John Cena's going to have to team up with Del Rio. He's going to have to team up with The Miz and guys like that, because they're involved in the storyline with CM Punk. You know, you're the only... I mean, I get where you're coming from, but it doesn't work.
Do you make him an arrogant bastard as a heel, like you've done with Triple H, and like you've done with all these, like Randy Orton and all these other guys that were baby faces gone heel?
No, because I don't think John Cena's personality would allow it.
He could be the one that's different.
I don't think John Cena's personality would allow it. I think with John Cena, like, turning him heel is tricky. Like, really tricky. You have to do it in a fashion that is entirely original and unexpected, because the corporate sellout works. I just don't think it works with Laurinaitis. The arrogant, egotistical heel, personally for me, doesn't work, because that's just not John Cena's personality at all.
Hmm.
Like, it's not believable.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't make him the arrogant heel. It's just not who he is in the least.
It'd be like calling a white guy Orenthal James Simpson and sending him out there in a USC and Buffalo Bills jersey.
you could make him a rather bitter heel. Look how much he's given and sacrificed, and these people aren't, you know, these people want nothing to do with them still. I've been playing to you guys
how Jeff Hardy was in TNA.
Yeah, well, how many years have I been playing to you guys, and you're still not cheering me? Okay, screw you all.
I could see that. That I could see. I would buy into that. You know, you have it, and I think at that point...
I almost think Roddy Piper laid the seed for that, because, you know, that would get frustrating after a long time.
Well, You could do that. The other thing, like, if you're going to lay the groundwork for that, the way that works is if you do it in some way where he and The Rock have some sort of altercation either at the Rumble or before Mania. Because you can't have him do that at Mania or afterward. You have to do it beforehand. Because if you listen to the crowd at Survivor Series, you listen to the crowd at the Raws and everything, they're really laying into Cena hard now because of The Rock. And I think now is the perfect time to do it.
So you get the Cena getting more and more bitter as The Rock is, because he's like ultra babyface here. As The Rock is given more of that babyface attention.
No, I'll give you
Cena shows bitterness to that.
No, I'll give you the perfect reasoning. The Rock has been gone for 8 years. John Cena has been working his ass off for 8 years. Has won championships, done everything that he had to make it in the company. The Rock wanted nothing to do with wrestling, left to become Mr. Hollywood. And they still cheer his name, even though The Rock could care less about the fans, and John Cena is all about the fans. Probably something with less hyperbole, but along those lines.
No, I dig what he's saying, Tim. I think that's what that could work into is he could turn on the crowd of saying, kind of like how they did with Bret Hart, where he came out and did his whole soliloquy about, you know, the hell with you American fans type thing. I'm not saying Cena has to say the hell with you American fans, but, you know, it has to happen at some point that Cena's gonna pop. He's gotta do it either on camera, in a ring promo. The thing with Piper Monday night was tremendous, and I even talked about it social networking. We talked it on KFAB Wrestling Radio last Tuesday. We thought this is perfect. Here's someone who at one point was the hottest heel in wrestling history telling him, you need to get your stuff together. And when he smacked him, Tim, that was just wow. And that Cena just stood there. You were almost hoping to him to start doing the Hulk Hogan like shake, going like, okay, come on, dumbass. You just got smacked by Roddy Piper and you're just walking away?
Well, there you go. I'll tell you what, everybody. We're going to take a quick little time out, first time out of the evening. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more of all of this stuff. But right on the other side of the break, I got to do a little bit of, self-serving promotion. Talk about Canadian All-Pro Wrestling just for a quick little bit. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Kid Mikey Briggs, he has no idea what he's getting himself involved with. I've been in this game for 10 years, I still ain't getting a record. This kid's about to get it. I mean, I've been taking it easy on him, he's about to get it next show. I'ma kick his ass. I've been in Mat Rats, PWA, RCW, I've done it all. I got broken wrists, I got concussions, you name it, everything. What does this kid have? He comes in a year and everyone loving this little Mikey Bridges kid. Like, who is he? He's nobody. He's gonna get it. I promise. From mistakes, well, that's why they mistake me. I got some weight on my shoulders. To me, it's like feathers. All hell easy. Call it bad weather.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all. What is it good
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or DNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
This is Barricade from Canadian All Pro Wrestling, and you're tuned in to Wild Talk Radio.
That song, if you want to step up, you're going to get knocked down. That is the official theme song for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. In case you haven't got it figured out by now, I happen to be the CEO, the president, the owner, the promoter for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We did our first show back on November 5th. Alan, did you watch the video? Did you watch the matches?
I have not yet. I do apologize. Oh. I'm very behind with a lot of viewership of stuff. I saw a lot of your highlight stuff, and from what I saw, it looked like a fun time was had by all.
Really? You didn't watch it yet when we were expecting
to
watch it and then we could talk about it? Spud, did you catch any of that, any of the video?
I was solo parent today, man. What do you want me to do?
Shit happens.
I'm in the same boat with Alan.
Yeah, and of course I don't think Omega's even remotely interested in what I'm doing here in Calgary with this new promotion.
I am interested. No, I am also supremely busy.
I see. Well, here's the thing.
He said no robots. He doesn't want.
There you go. If you haven't checked it out yet, everybody, you can watch the complete show, the entire show, Onslaught, Canadian All Pro Wrestling. All you gotta do is go to CanadianAllProWrestling.com, click on the video link, and then you'll be able to click on matches. For that, and so we've got a phone call. Hey, caller, you've called into WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Who is this? Where are you
Stein,
calling from?
I'm tired of listening to your voice all day. Oh, this is Stephen Styles calling in here.
Oh, great, Stephen Styles from Canadian All Pro Wrestling.
You know what, Tim? Do us a favor, just shut up. I got something to say. This coming Thursday night, I'm coming to the bar you call the Border Crossing. I don't know what that is. I don't want to know what it is. I'm just coming there for one reason only. I was told I got a hardcore match against Kishi Matsumagu or Papaku, that poor man Ricky Steamboat, that slinky little rice-slapping dumpster boy. I'm tired of being held back. No, Tim, don't even pipe up. This Thursday night, Border Crossing in Calgary, I got a hardcore match. I understand that the legendary Gama Singh is going to be there. You know what? He's going to be impressed with what he sees. For one reason only, I'm the biggest boy in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, Tim Stein. What are you going to say about that one, big boy?
Well, I'll agree you're a pretty big boy. I mean, I've seen you wolf down a 32-ounce steak in 30 seconds, so.
It was 25 seconds, and she didn't know what hit her.
I'm not even going there. Forget it. So what can we expect from you on Thursday night, Styles?
Hold on, Tim.
Wait, okay.
We have a guy who wrestles hardcore matches and eats fat chicks?
Whoa. I don't eat fat chicks. That's the Barricade.
Is he a fat chick thriller?
I eat big steaks, and I beat up small little Asians like Keishi Matsumoto or Poppy Muku, whatever you want to call
him. Okay. His name is Keishi Matsunaga. And he is.
I don't care if it's the poor man Ricky Steamboat.
Hey, dude, he was all star in Japan. Come on now. Don't be picking on Keishi Matsunaga. The guy's good.
You must feel like a big guy, huh? Big, strong
guy. I'm a big guy.
Beat up on little Asian people?
That's right. I'm going to beat the sticky rim job to a pulp.
I tell you what, big boy. I tell you what.
What?
April is my 30th birthday, and I owe it to myself to take a little vacation. So
good for you, congratulations. You're gonna be what, 60?
How about no? We're not talking about Stein here. We're not talking about Methuselah. Hey.
Oh, Stein couldn't remember 60. That was 300 years ago.
See,
he pops more Viagra than the average old man.
I tell you what, you have your fun this Thursday with your little Asian boy, because apparently you do well with it. I hear you pay lots of money to have little Asian boys beat you up.
No. Tim Stein pays me a lot of money to beat up his little Asian boys.
So, I'm thinking about taking a vacation this summer. I should drop by Calgary and whoop your ass.
Well, yeah, could, but, you know, I hope you have your health insurance paid up and your funeral costs.
I don't think I'm going to need it. I'll just bring my good friend the 2x4, and I don't know, a couple of arm bars, you know, leg lock or two, and just whoop your ass all over Calgary.
Oh, big talk. You talk big behind a computer screen, buddy. You know what? After you see the video, what I do to the sticky cum shot Masha and Mika Papu next weekend, or next Thursday, you won't want to come to Calgary, because there won't be no reason for you to come here. Because you're going to see what I do, and you'll be scared and hide behind Tim Stein's little dress or skirt or whatever.
Whoa, back up, ease off. My goodness.
Ease off of what?
He thinks I'm playing,
you wanted the truth? It's the truth.
Well, this is going to be damned interesting, and you can bet we're going to do everything we can to try to air it live when the Spud guy comes to Calgary in April. That's it. That's it, Spud. I gotta book that match with Squig. Squig, I gotta book that match.
Who's this Squig guy? I'm Steven Stiles. I know who this Squig guy is. You know what, Tim Stein? On Thursday, after I beat up that little, Asian boy lover of yours, I might get out of the ring and slap the piss out of you.
You careful now. Don't get yourself suspended before you get rocking and rolling. I was talking to Spud. Steven
Who's
Stiles.
Spud?
Spud. The Spud guy.
The guy you just talked crap to.
The guy that is trying to entice you into a match in April.
Me.
The professional wrestler from Ohio.
Me, you Canadian nigga. Jesus Christ, do you have two brain cells to rub together up there in Calgary?
No, he's in Edmonton.
I'm not from Calgary.
Oh, yeah, that explains a whole lot
eating Ohio Cowboy?
I forgot, Tim. I forgot about Edmonton. They're the West Virginia of Canada.
Thank you. Something you and I can actually agree on, Spud. Okay, Spud, that's it. I'm going to book that match. Steven Stiles, this is going to go down in April, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. I'm booking you in a match with the Spud guy. You want hardcore?
This summer, Tim. I got to make it in the summer.
Okay.
My birthday is in April.
Hey,
I have to make it
in the summer when the potatoes are ripe.
What's that?
Yes, you have to make it in the summer, Tim. We should know, you know, when spooge is ripe in potato season.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh,
you know, enough of the spooge guy. Let's talk about this Thursday night in Calgary at the Border Cross. Okay, All Pro Wrestling returns to Calgary. I understand it's a packed card. You got the All American Steve Rivers, the former X Division champion Johnny Devine in the card. You got my good friend, the 400-pound monster, the Barricade.
Oh, great! That's all we need is for him to call in now.
Oh, you know what? Barricade might call in, but you know what? I just had some champagne, some good fish. I'm about to hang up now because I'm about to go take a Tim Stein. By Tim Stein, I mean, I gotta go take a crap. So that's the end of it. Goodbye, Stein. And Spooge, get ready because this summer, I'm gonna make a Spooge stain out of you, buddy. Goodbye.
Hold on, Stevie Stiles. One second. Oh, he ran. He ran. I wonder how he's gonna feel in this summer when he has to go run to his mama and his papa over in Edmonton, that he just got his ass kicked by a guy in a skirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to be wrestling in your kilt.
I got the kilt.
Sweet. Oh, we got it. We got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the line. Who's this and where are you calling from?
It's Barricade. I'm calling from Edmonton, my frozen home up north.
God, see, I told you he was going to call. 400 pounds of absolute natural disaster.
400 pounds, 500 pounds, it doesn't matter what you think I am. It doesn't matter what you think about me. The only thing that matters is Thursday night at Border Crossing. No matter who you put in front of Barricade, I'm going to run him over, plain and simple.
Oh, goodness. Who the hell am I going to put you in front of on Thursday night?
It doesn't matter. You can throw someone at me from 3 decades ago. You can throw someone at me from 3 days ago. It doesn't matter.
Question. Tim?
Yeah.
Isn't a barricade supposed to block things, not run stuff over?
Oh, this is a moving violation, this guy. Let me tell you. If you haven't seen him yet, check out the footage on CanadianAllPro.com. You'll see what he's all about. I think that he went up against Cato, and it turned into a tag match. But for some reason, Barricade and Pete Wilson, who teamed up together, decided they didn't want to finish the match. Is that not right, Barricade? What's up with that?
Getting in people's way, running people over, it doesn't matter. Barricade is an attitude. I'm a problem for anybody I step in the ring with, whether it be Ironside, whether it be Cato, whether it be Bucky Briggs. Me and Pete Wilson, we were, let's just say, above stepping in the ring with those two, the last Canadian All-Pro show on November 5th. This Thursday coming up, you have no idea what's in store when the Barricade comes back to Calgary.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I tell you what. Why don't you guys turn down the computer in the background and stop listening to yourself?
Touche, touche. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, okay, I'll tell you what, Barricade. I'm going to book you in a match Thursday night at the Border Crossing. And, who am I going to put you in the ring against just to see if you can,
safety
code. Put anybody. You can put a 5-pounder, you can put a 500-pounder. I will step in the ring with anybody. No questions asked.
Well, I'll tell you what, okay? I'm not even going to announce it right now.
Can you book him against Johnny Devine and a kendo stick?
I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna work on. I'm just gonna make it a mystery opponent for now, and you won't find out until Thursday night at Border Crossing who I've got you.
The only mystery that I figure is gonna happen on Thursday night is when Steven Styles steps out of that ring and slaps Tim Stein in the face. The only mystery is where is Tim Stein gonna land? That's the mystery to me. That's the only mystery that I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned
Vancouver.
About who you have to put in the ring in front of me. Plain and simple, they're going to get hurt. That's how it goes.
You know, I'm looking at CanadianAllProWrestling.com right now, Tim, or CanadianAllPro.com.
Yeah.
I was unaware, looking at a picture of Steven Styles, I was unaware that there were Mexicans in Canada.
Oh, no, man. No. Take a look. Take a closer look. He looks like he could be a member or the leader of the Memphis Mafia. Of course, Barricade is from Atlantic City, New Jersey, which should make
sense. If I'm right, I'm from Atlantic City, New Jersey. I've been beating punks up and down the boardwalk for years. There was no competition left, so I came to Alberta. I came to Canadian All-Pro Wrestling because Tim Stein told me this is where the biggest competition is. The baddest men in Alberta, in North America, are Canadian All-Pro, and this is why I'm here.
He lied to you, because looking at people like Steven Styles, again, he looks like he should be hacking down beans and packing up marijuana for Uncle Juan down in Guadalajara. Just saying.
Well, he's got to do whatever he's got to do to pay the bills. He's got a family to feed. He's got a belly he's got to fill every day. Either way, I don't care if he looks like a Mexican, a Chexican, a Japanese, or whatever the hell. He's going to beat the piss out of Sticky Rim Job on Thursday. I'm going to crush whoever you put in the ring with me. That's the end of the story. You have any other brilliant questions?
Yeah, anybody?
Jimmy.
Anybody have any more questions for him? Oh, hey,
Him versus Jessica Havoc. Can you book that?
Oh, I would love to see Havoc kick this dumbass in the face.
Okay, hang on a second, you guys. We got another caller. Hang on, we got another caller. Burkett, can you hang up hang on a second?
Oh, yeah, I'll hang on. I'm not going nowhere.
Just hang on. Hey, caller, who's this calling in, and where are you calling from?
This is Pistol Pete calling from a dog park.
Oh, hey, check it out. Pistol Pete Wilson. Pistol Pete, how you doing this evening? How you going?
Good, how's it going?
Not bad. We got the Barricade on the line right now, too.
My boy Barricade.
Yeah.
BD.
I got a question for you. What the hell was up with the end of your match with Mike Briggs on November 5th? You had a great match. You shook hands. You're all, you know, fine and friendly. He goes to raise his hand to the crowd. You attack him from behind. You blindside him. What is up with that, Pistol Pete Wilson?
I'm sick of being the nice guy, huh? Being too nice on these kids, you know?
Dude, it was a good match. You were doing great. I don't understand why you attacked him.
Because I should have won.
Oh, damn. What do you mean you should have won? He won fair and square. He's the guy that slipped that super kick to your chin and laid you out, dude. Come on.
Nah. I was going easy on him. I took it easy. So, you know, I didn't expect him to come hard like that. So,
okay,
I'm going to get him next time, though.
You want to rush
him? I'll get him next time. Yeah,
well, I'll tell you what. This Thursday night, Border Crossing, I'm booking a rematch. You against Mikey Briggs. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Okay, and you'll know to bring it. Don't underestimate this rookie sensation.
Yeah, I got him this time.
Okay,
he can't get super kick now.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I've seen you work some of the best in the business. You were able to hang pretty good against Tyson Kidd when you guys were in Stampede Wrestling, you know.
Okay.
I've seen you work the past, the present, and the future, Teddy Hart, on several dozen occasions, man. That we'll see how you do against Mikey Briggs in the rematch. Sound good?
Sound good.
All right, man. Well, hey, Pistol Pete, thanks for calling in. We'll see you Thursday night. Just be prepared to deal with Mikey Briggs.
Mikey Briggs, for sure.
Okay, man. You take care.
Yeah.
Barricade, you still there?
Yeah, you bet I'm still here. I was giving this some thought here, Tim Stein. The border crossing is probably the most appropriate place for a barricade. You put a barricade at a border crossing, nobody is getting across the border.
That very, sounded retarded.
Very, very apropos. Very well put. Well, okay, Barricade, like I said, I'm not going to tell you until Thursday night who I'm going to put in the ring with you. But we'll see how good you really are. We're going to videotape.
That's fine by me, Tim. That's fine by me. When Steven Stiles slaps the face right off of you, we're all going to get a good chuckle. We're going to laugh at our opponents as they're laying on the ground, and we're heading out of town with your money and their blood on our hands.
Well, here's the thing. Being the CEO of the company, you lay hands on me, you're getting suspended without pay.
Book it, Tim.
Why does everybody want to beat you up, dude?
Well,
what the hell?
Alan, they're all bad guys. They're not nice people, dude.
Well, duh, but I'm sorry, Bricklayer, Rock, Barricade, Blockade, whatever the hell you are. This isn't the UWF of the 1980s, dude. Get some better key cliche heel lines. Does he have an actual barricade on his ring tights?
Well,
because if he does, then I would pay a dollar to watch it.
Yeah, no, he's dressed up like a barricade. Yeah, no, he's
is he wrestling in like Owen Hart's old singlet?
Yeah, he beat up everybody in Atlantic City. This just in. Their barricade, a guy who should be in the WWE Hall of Fame named King Kong Bundy used to do that kind of thing. And I don't think you're anywhere near King Kong Bundy's class yet.
Ooh. Tim, what do you got to say about this? Dude, like, your radio show is going babyface on your heel roster.
And this is totally, totally fucking unexpected, too. I mean, yeah, no, thanks for helping back me up, guys. I appreciate it. But, you know. They, you know, if they mess up and step out of line, listen, the talent pool on the indie scene is extremely deep. So, you know, they can get suspended. I'll bring in guys like, Sin.
Oh, by the way, I'm not kidding. Book it. I'll get you a date. Book it.
No, I told you, as soon as we find out when you can make it here, we will make that match happen. God damn straight.
I want
to think we may all need to get our passports in line, eh, Omega? We're going to Canada, dude!
Come to Calgary, take in an episode of Canadian All Pro Wrestler. So.
Hell,
but yeah,
yeah.
It's gonna be a great show. We got the hotshot Johnny Devine, All-American Steve Rivers, the Great Gamma's coming out of retirement. We are actually bringing the Great Gamma from the Karachi Vice into Canadian.
Holy crap, are you serious?
Absolutely.
No, that is cool. I'm sorry, the Karachi Vice were awesome in the Stampede Calgary days.
So we got at least one person working out for the Great Gamma. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know exactly why Great Gamma's coming in. He just says he wants to come out of retirement and come work at Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. So.
Steven Stiles seriously looks like a Mexican. I'm pretty sure his real last name is Martinez or something. Or you know, Lopez or whatever. I mean, although he could be a descendant of a Mexican, because I've not seen too many fat Mexicans.
Whoa. You know what, Spudge? I'm tired of listening to you run your mouth.
Oh,
oh, you're back!
Wait. Before you talk to him, Spud, did you do this to him on purpose just so he'd call back?
Me? Do anything
yes.
on purpose?
No.
Okay, yeah. we're having a, guys, we're having a meeting after the show.
You know what, Spudge? You beak. But you are just like a typical American. You hide behind every little thing and every little computer screen. Just like the U.S. military. You need to send us Canadian military in to clean up what the Americans can't do. So you know what, Spudge? I hope you get the passport and you make your way to Calgary pretty quick. Because I'll put my fist so far down your throat, you'll be shitting chicklets for a month, kid.
First of all,
did he say he's from Edmonton?
Yeah, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, the home of
I want to thank you as a New York Rangers fan for Wayne Gretzky, my friend. Great work up there keeping Canadian property under your regime. As a a hockey fan in America, I praise you so much for giving him to us.
Hold on a second. First of all, I'm pretty sure there's no ice in the Middle East, so there's no way the Canadian military is going anywhere near there. Second of all, my friend, I can't wait until your fat 400-pound Stay Puft Marshmallow Man friend has to carry you back home to Edmonton after I whoop your ass while you're crying, I got beat by a guy in a skirt! Dude, I can't fucking wait.
Well, you know, after I slapped Tim Stein, who's going to be hiding behind a skirt, it'll be a warm-up for me when you get here. So you know what, Spooge or Spide or whatever? Matter of fact, you know what? I'll come to the States and face you firsthand. I don't care. Tim Stein, after I take the Canadian All-Pro title, when you name it, I'll go to the States defend it against Spooge or Spide the first time out. What do you say to that, Steiner?
Man, I don't know what the hell to say to you guys, other than, look, the match is going to get booked, and that's all there is to it.
That's fine. I'm looking forward to it.
You and me both.
You got it, buddy.
I'll even lay the stipulation right now.
Well, what's that there, Spudge?
Let's pay a little bit of homage to the late Eddie Guerrero and Dusty Rhodes. You and me, Texas bull rope.
That more than that, I would love to choke you out with a big chunk of rope. You know, it'd be just like a typical Saturday night for Tim Stein with a choke himself with a big piece of rope.
Oh Jesus Christ! Okay, that's it. You know what? We're gonna take a timeout and try to settle things down. Styles, stay with us. Don't hang up, all right? Everybody,
okay,
listen, WTR, you are listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and this is getting interesting. Looks like I got no choice to book a match between one of the hosts of WTR Sunday Night and a member of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Yesterday's too long ago. Don't agree with what I know. Tomorrow got no place to be.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. you know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
This is Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Or something like that. Welcome back. WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, everybody. I just want to double check with Jersey Girl. Do you have any Advils or Aleve or anything like that for your headache? Do you have to change your panties because you pissed and you were laughing so hard? Are you okay now? Are you back? Is everything all right? I'm just asking.
Tim, for the last time, will you stop asking our listeners about their panties?
Only the female ones, Omega. Come on.
How many of our male listeners are wearing panties? And if so, I don't want them listening to my
Does
show.
It count if one of the hosts is wearing them?
We don't want to hear about your personal life, Omega.
Just curious.
Seriously, we don't want to hear about your personal life, man. Motherfucker.
Hey, Spug's the one talking about wearing a skirt. I'm just wondering how he completes the wardrobe.
What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. Well, all I know is that after all of that fucking back and forth with Styles and the Barricade, apparently Jersey Girl wants to get a ticket for that show that you're going to be wrestling on, Spug.
Okay.
We're all road tripping up. Why not?
Maybe we should.
Fly Mason too. Make it a tag team thing.
You start talking about wanting to pick on little kids and, you know, guys that are half your size. Pick on somebody your own size. And you know what? I'm 250. I'm muscle. Bring it on.
I will admit it was a little amusing you leaping to the defense of an Asian considering the commercials that play during our
Oh, fried rice.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. You know what? You know what, Spug? I should team you up with Keishi Matsunaga from Hiroshima, Japan to...
Do I have... Hold on. He's from what? Hiroshima?
From Hiroshima, Japan.
Do I have to apologize before we tag up?
Oh, God.
You might have to, yes. You might have to. But it's okay. He doesn't speak English, so I don't know if he would even know what you said.
How are we supposed to...
Oh, God.
What?
He communicates really well with, like, hand signals and shit. And if he thinks you're a jerk-off, he does the universal motion for letting you know he thinks you're being a jerk-off. You know.
God damn it, Tim.
Just say, Kamen Rider Sugoi, and you're in.
Yeah, just, hey, you know what? He might teach you how to do a Hadouken.
Hadouken!
So, there you go. Yeah, so, you know, team me up with Keishi to face off against, Styles and, Barricade. It's a thought.
Why'd you play the Dead Man music? He ain't coming back, man.
The Dead Man is coming back!
No, he's not. Miss McTaker said no.
Miss McTaker's a moron.
Yeah, our tag partners was just down here at FCW doing signings.
Well, let me ask you guys. You know, let's just head right to a roundtable question.
That's fine. I want to get this show over with as quick as possible. It's my
this
wife's
will be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Like I said, it's my wife's birthday. She wants her nookie.
Asshole puckers every time I hear that. The intro and you porking your wife.
Hey, it's the roundtable. I hear it has no intro.
Live on pay-per-view.
Oh, my goodness. All right, you guys. All right. Here's your roundtable questions. With WWE setting the priority of Undertaker's match being one of the top two matches on the show... What opponent makes the most sense for Taker to face at WrestleMania? And Alan, yes, you have to come up with a legit answer.
Oh, God, why? I don't want him back. Am I supposed to answer right now?
Yeah.
I want him versus Jackie Feist. Why not? It'll make her the happiest woman in the free frickin' world. There you go. There's a legit opponent for her.
Oh, boy.
For him.
Okay.
But you gotta build it from Royal Rumble. Let me think here for a second, because Omega and Spug may agree with me here. And I gotta remember how long did who the hell did he work Triple H last year, and they built Triple H what after the Rumble? So fit, or they do it after the Chamber? Because unfortunately, that's the bad part. These storylines blend so damn much. Now, at one point last year, we heard it was Wade Barrett was going to be his opponent, and I guess he came to a TV tape and approved of Barrett, and then I guess Spug's husband said, no, I must step in here. I could see Barrett doing this, just with the whole Barrett barrage thing that he's going for. He's got the size to do it, to be one of the taller guys on this roster that could be neck to neck with Mark Calloway, other than his fictional brother. I can't see anybody else, because if Punk's got the belt going forward, Punk's going to be involved somewhere. Mark Henry's already wrestled him. Randy Orton's already wrestled him at least once. Mm-hmm. Cena's already tied up with Rocky. Austin's not gonna wrestle ever again. And they've already done that match. It was SummerSlam, Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. They got booed out of the building for the way they ended it. I like Wade Barrett. I don't know why.
Wade Barrett. Now, before we go on to, Spug and Omega, we got a few, listener posts on, I do believe it's Twitter, sending in their answers. This one from Jeff Dubois thinks that CM Punk should do it because it's probably his only / last chance to work a program with Taker. It's a thought. Chris Irving says it would be an epic match, Taker versus HBK versus Triple H versus Kane. I don't see them putting Taker in a match like that. It's going to be one-on-one. Yeah. And then we have Kate Dale Frazier. Taker should face Kane and win to keep a streak as his legacy in pro wrestling. Guys, I've had enough of Kane versus Taker.
No. You don't need...
Agreed.
If this is Taker's last match, he has to lose.
Well, what about taking out John Cena and make it Rock versus Undertaker?
Yeah, but you just spent all this time building up for a match that's now not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you pretty much booked this entire WrestleMania around one match for the last year. You cannot skip out on it now.
And yeah, and 4 or 5 months beforehand, unless, you know, the only way that match does not happen is if Rock gets hurt on the film set somewhere or Cena gets hurt.
Yeah,
Rock
there you go.
Like he's going to get hurt doing Tooth Fairy 2.
Yeah, there you go. Well, he can't skate in real life.
They already had someone die on that. They had someone die on that G.I. Joe set already as one of the stunt people.
Yeah,
so
how are you
going to
compare? How are you comparing Tooth Fairy with G.I. Joe? I mean, really. But anyway,
just
that comes
as painful.
There you go. Yeah, that comes from Alka Glow. But Alka Glow always also suggests maybe Sting or Drew McIntyre.
Sting's
if they
a little
can bring
busy
Sting
being
in
the GM on Monday, on TNA Impact. Never going to happen.
But Drew McIntyre,
if it was going to happen, Drew who?
Yeah, Drew, not a chance. And then we got another one from Mike Lightning. This one kind of makes sense. Randy Orton, he's a legend killer. You know, legend killer versus the streak match. It's been done, sure, okay. But at this point in both the careers, it would be perfect. And they both could work a great match. If not Orton, then Wade Barrett. So, Alan, there's somebody who's agreeing with you there. And then, of course, we've got Lucas the Menace suggesting Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Jericho, or even Sheamus. Just a few names. With that posted, Spud.
Sheamus is interesting.
Barrett or Rhodes are the only two, or DiBiase Jr.
Yep, that's always my standby. We've joked around about that on KFIB Wrestling Radio that we figured, well, Spugget figured it more because DiBiase Sr. brought him in, Jr. should take him out, why not? But so that's creative thinking in a wrestling program.
Yeah, so there's that, you know, that thing to think about. That's, that would almost practically make sense, really. Omega.
Honestly, I'd give it to The Miz.
The Miz.
The Miz.
No.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The guy's improved a lot. The guy has really shown that he's got what it takes. He's been a credible champion. He has been a top heel. Especially if he's the one who takes out Undertaker, you're looking at the next big heel for years to come. I mean, he's been saddled with a really crap, you know, storyline lately, but you know before then he was a credible threat to Cena. They built him up last WrestleMania that way, and it stuck with him. He proved that he could put on a WrestleMania caliber match even if it was against Cena. The guy has come an enormously long way, and he deserves some kind of push that doesn't involve, you know, lame tag teams and pissing off Little Jimmy.
Oh, Little Jimmy!
And he is clean. He hasn't failed a wellness test lately.
He hasn't failed a wellness test. He's proven himself at WrestleMania. He's a young star, and he's got the talent for it.
He's got the gab big time.
I honestly, like I kept saying, I said it before, and I keep saying it. Whoever beats The Undertaker, that's the biggest rub in the history of this industry. If you beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, it's got to be someone who's going to be there for the long run, who can actually ride the wave that they're going to carry for years after that. And it's got to be what?
I was just going to say, don't discount all the reports that he's working his ass off just as hard as Cena behind the scenes as well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay, I'll keep in mind, yeah, Miz is also the guy that shop around to media all the time. He's on... I think he's on Conan again soon.
Oh, yeah.
Too. So.
Yeah, it's fun to think because if you bring Taker back, because I guess we're all in agreement that he's the mystery video if we go along with the mystery video thing, which, as I said, Tuesday night, Taker doesn't need the video thing. You already did it last year, and it was stupid. And well, if it's also, him, why? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as that mystery video, there's also that speculation that despite Jericho posting on his Twitter, I'll never wrestle for WWE again, Jericho's famous for turning right when he tells everybody he's going left. And he's done it before. He could do it again, that mystery return video. Very well be, it could be, originally for Jericho. Sure, contract negotiations temporarily broke down, but never say never when Vince McMahon is involved.
Well, we also speculated that, the former Skip Sheffield, I think he worked as Silverback Ryan Reeves for a while, that they were going to repackage him, and it may be him, or it may be, the Rotunda that was working as, he was with the Nexus group, and I can't remember what he was called.
Well, yeah, the,
Wyndham Rotunda's his real name.
Yeah, well, the,
Husky producer, Harris, thank you.
The producer just posted something that's really interesting. What about one more Taker Foley match? They immortalized Hell in the Cell.
No, I don't think you retread ground. Especially since this looks like it's going to be Taker's last ride to WrestleMania, considering he's pretty much put himself completely off the shelf until then. It's got to be something fresh. You know, I advocate The Miz again in that situation.
I kind of agree with him on that. I think Miz, microphone-wise, can carry it and not. For some, the only thing that it hurts Mizanin is his height. Is that, you know, you're going to put him in a 6'1", 6'2" guy in the ring with Taker, who is a legit 6'9" or 10.
Okay, well,
okay.
Only
Shawn,
I know it didn't hurt
Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, but that's Shawn Michaels. But you're going to compare Mike Mizanin at this point in his career to someone like Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely.
That's hard,
you're damn right when you're arguing his height, sure.
Oh, yeah, height-wise, but for the rest of it,
no. Shawn always made up.
Well, here, we had another Twitter posting. Guys, how likely is it, or how possible do you see it being Undertaker, Goldberg coming back to WWE just for one match?
No.
You're not gonna put Goldberg in there with Taker.
When was the last time he was legit in a ring was WrestleMania 20, right, boss?
No, it was.
No. He's been in since then. He did a couple of charity events.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, can we get a fail trumper for Goldberg? I'm just thinking that, you know, a fail trumper would be apropos.
Why are we fail trumpeting Goldberg?
Is that a legit one?
Because, no, fail trumpet was for thinking Goldberg would even think about going back to WWE, never mind actually having one match against Taker at WrestleMania. So.
Who brought up Dolph Ziggler? Is that a listener rock? Are you down? But then you got to get the U.S. title off of Ziggler, don't you? You don't want Taker involved in a mid-card championship when that made Taker look.
It's got to
be. You put the hot shot the belt to, then you get the belt on right.
Ziggler's got every tool he needs, but he's where he belongs right now.
Like, right now, he's at the top of the mid card, and that's where he belongs at this point in time.
Right. Yeah. If you're going to put someone, you know, it's Taker at WrestleMania. This match is more important than the world title matches usually. It's got to be someone with world championship material to him. Which, you know, this is another reason I'm kind of glad that Barrett possibly got nixed, because no.
Okay, let's try to look at it logically. Who is at the same level? When you talk an icon status, in professional wrestling, who is on Taker's level?
No one.
No one.
None.
Who is close?
The guy he wrestled last year, and he's a little busy in a feud with Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you're gonna say Triple H would be closest. If not, you know, I take it down to, you know, like, God, there's no one left at that.
Vince McMahon.
Okay, just for shits and giggles. Just for shits and giggles.
Okay.
Mark Henry.
No.
Why?
Done.
Terrible match.
Just saying.
Was done in Detroit, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Taker HBK was also done too.
Here's
but
the
they
thing.
Did it again.
I would agree
yeah,
with...
Yeah, because that match was really good.
Go ahead, Omega.
I would almost agree with Tornado Money off Twitter when he suggests Daniel Bryan, because that would be something of a wrestling clinic. Unfortunately, I don't think they've given him enough build time yet. And, supposedly, we know what he's going to be doing at WrestleMania.
Going after a title, so...
Daniel Bryan versus... Oh, my God. That's just...
That's just not right.
It could be a great wrestling match. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the build. He's just not there yet.
Yeah. Well, if you had the Undertaker of a few years ago that wasn't hobbled with what he's been hobbled with lately, I could see Taker of 1998, because he was wrestling a broken foot at that time, but...
There's the
I can
trick.
See
That's
Taker
the
late 90s.
That is the trick here, because, you know, this is why, you know, this is where, you know, I think Miz is your best candidate, but this is the point where you could argue against him. It's got to be someone experienced enough in the ring to protect Taker. Because the dude's, you know, even if he's fully healed, or he's just as fully healed as Undertaker gets.
Yeah, he's probably as fully healed as he's ever going to be.
Someone put up Dave Bautista, if you have seen recent photos of Dave Bautista, he doesn't even look like Dave Bautista anymore. He lives down here in Tampa, Florida, and he works out with one of the Gracies of MMA fame. It has a gym here, and I saw some photos of him, and even I had to ask the person and said that, seriously, who is that? And I said, oh, it's Dave Bautista. I said, get the hell out of here.
Okay, how about this? Let's just shave Mason Ryan bald and call him Bautista.
Hey, the FCW fans have done it for months.
Yeah, well, yeah, he should be called
Britt
Bautista.
He's been Bautista for a long while.
Yeah, no, he should be Britt-tista.
It's Welsh-tista.
Welsh-tista.
Yeah, it's, you know, to go back to what you brought up, to someone on the level of the character of The Undertaker, Cena and Rock, which was just said, they're a little busy in something that's been booked since the day after last year's Mania. And
okay,
Foley, you know, other than he's come out to the ring twice, but has anybody physically seen Foley compete since he left TNA?
Okay,
and he didn't exactly,
wanna,
you know, kill people in TNA.
Okay, I just want to just mention too. I'm gonna assume that's Fast Eddie. You stream 597.11. Quit mentioning TNA workers to take on Taker. I'm just saying. I don't see WWE bringing somebody in for a one-off just to face Taker. It's going to be somebody on the current
Samoa
roster.
Samoa Joe. I want Samoa Joe. That would be awesome.
You know, that just falls into the realm of dream match. And maybe on one of these upcoming broadcasts, we might do that. We'll take a look at what would be your dream match for the streak versus whatever.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Can he
Andre
be dressed in the
giant.
Weasel suit? Yeah, Bobby the Brain in a weasel suit.
In the weasel suit. Yeah,
God damn straight.
I want the weasel suit.
How about Andy
this
Kaufman?
This is like the ultimate...
Andy Kaufman!
I want Michael Cole versus Taker.
If you haven't seen it, you gotta watch Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
That was just awesome.
Absolutely.
I love that
part with, Jerry Lawler, and then in the background you see Jerry getting his payout. Oh yeah, I was happy to do it. That was so frickin'
absolutely
real when it happened. I mean, Letterman was even suckered in. He was not in on it. So
that's the good old days of kayfabe.
That's who it is. It's David Letterman versus him. Conan O'Brien, why not?
Okay, well, here's one last
O'Brien versus Jay Leno.
Yeah, there you go. One last legit roster member to face off against Taker. Streak on the Line, Big Show.
It's one of those. Big Show's gone down a little too much in my mind over the years. Think of how slow a Big Show match is. Now you're working with an Undertaker who hasn't been in the ring in a year. You know, unless he wrestles before then, which I severely doubt he's going to do.
Yeah.
Who's probably about 70% at best anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so basically...
You're talking the slowest, most drawn-out match in WWE history.
Yeah. So basically...
Yeah, if you saw Mark Henry versus Big Show was slow.
Basically, it comes down to, with everybody we've talked about, it's got to be somebody on the roster who can carry and make his opponent look like gold. That's the bottom line. And it has to be something where they can work an easy match.
Why does it have to be somebody
make it
on
look
the
five
roster?
Why would you bring somebody for one off? No.
You're not going to give the match to anybody who's only there for a one-time thing and then gone. They're going to want to capitalize off of it.
When you look at it that way, I have to say the most logical choice would have to be Randy Orton. Whether it is or happens or not, we'll find out. But
you said it earlier.
I would not mind. I would not mind seeing Randy Orton Undertaker.
You said it earlier, Tim. To me, the only individual to make sense, and he's under contract, whether it be a Legends deal or not, he's under contract with WWE. So it's not like you're bringing him in for a one-off.
Mm.
The only person who really makes sense to me is Mick Foley.
Well, you know, that's the other matchup I would love to see. I think that Foley still has a couple of good matches. I know, I'm sure that he could protect Taker as long as they don't do a Hell in a Cell through the top of the cage again.
No, they can both protect each other. But if you look at it, Foley to me, and I know I've been pretty quiet most of this because I've been listening. But Foley is the only one who really makes sense because of how many times has Foley been intertwined into some storyline that Taker is doing. In some way, shape, or form, Foley has always been involved. He's the arch nemesis of Taker. It would only make sense that Taker's last match involve Foley as his opponent.
And what a great way to swap that, put out that little celebrity swapping show him and the wife are doing with Antonio Sabato Jr. and his family.
So basically, I think we're done with this roundtable discussion because we could go the rest of the night with it, but we got some other topics to cover. It's up in the air. I'm looking forward to finding out who the hell Taker winds up facing, and I'm sure we'll probably find out pretty soon, right after the new year, when everybody starts coming back and all that shit. Anyway, moving on.
1-2-12 in Memphis, boss. 1-2-12.
Moving on. CM Punk wants to get rid of the spinner belt.
Woo!
Yes.
He's emphatic about it. Yes, in capital letters with a big fucking exclamation point. Get rid of the goddamn thing. He calls it gaudy. He calls it ugly. He says that it's a blinged out rapper accessory. He wants a dignified title. He wants some of the old school shit coming back.
He'll get it.
Yeah.
What belt do you want him? Huh? Go ahead.
Okay. No, keep going.
I was just going to say, what belt do you want to see them replace it with?
A modernized version of the Winged Eagle.
Thank you.
That would be good.
Real quick, Omega. Real quick.
No, go.
My favorite belt was the mid-90s Attitude Era Winged Eagle.
Okay.
I think that would work real well.
Omega, go.
I just recently saw an article where even John Cena is in favor of getting rid of the belt at this point.
I read that too, and he said it's time for it to go. Wasn't he talking about something more traditional as well?
I believe he was.
Yeah.
You know, but I think you forget about Cena as he is such a child of the business. He freaking loves the old school stuff. Here's the thing, here's the reason you don't change it, because okay, let's put aside the fact that, you know, it's, what, depending on how fancy it is, $30,000 to $50,000 to get a new belt produced in the first place.
Yeah.
It's also all the toys, all the marketing, all the shirts that have the belt on it. You have all the promo images that have the belt. All the action figures that come with a little tiny championship belt. All the toy versions of the championship belt. I've got one in here. There's a brand new one on the stores right now, and I guarantee they're working on the next one right now. You know, that's, you know, you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise, marketing, and licensing toward this one product, and now you're, you know, and that makes you a little bit leery to change anything. Now,
yeah,
when you've got...
you're making money, you don't want to step in a different direction where you're not going to be making money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when, you know, it's not drastic, but, you know, that was why WWE didn't want to change from the WWF, because the licensing and the marketing, you know, just to change, you know, two lines on the logo was a nightmare. You know, and now you're dealing with multiple companies that have to do the exact same thing. They have to stop everything and change to this brand new style of belt that they've come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the belt's changed multiple times over the last 20 years.
You know, Bret Hart had his version of the Winged Beagle. Shawn Michaels had his version of the belt. Stone Cold had the Smoking Skull. I like that belt.
I don't see the big deal about changing the belt to, you know, something more traditional and yeah, they have a lot wrapped up in marketing, but you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar global machine.
Whatever they come out with, they're going to be able to market it.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Whose main function as a company is marketing? You don't think that they don't have some sort of plan if they're going to do that?
Well, of course they of course they've got some kind of plan. See, it is like, you know, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate. You know, I agree that the belt needs to go away. You know, just, you know, this is why it's taken as long as it has. You do have to give it as many legs as possible so that, you know, okay, Mattel's making the toys right now. Mattel just recently got the license for that. You know, and Mattel being the largest toy producer in the United States. Okay, I think maybe the world too. It's mostly because of Barbie. But you have to think, you really don't want to piss off your main licensee, because that's a lot of your profit in toy sales and royalties from that. You don't want to make them change all their plans either. So this is, it's got to be timed out to where this works for all companies involved. Now, odds are they've probably got new belt designs drawn up right now that they could send off to these companies that they could kind of conglomerate with. You know, and just kind of go, okay, we're going to be doing this 6 months down the road or 3 months down the road. However, it's time to start changing everything now. You know, I honestly think that process is going to begin, since you've got your two top merchandise selling faces who are routinely passing the belt between each other wanting a new belt. And I think we start to see the beginnings of that with Cody Rhodes bringing back the classic Intercontinental belt.
Rebuttal?
Well, I know he was playing devil's advocate, but you don't... Anything that WWE has done within the last year has been incredibly calculated. In the Summer of Punk, incredibly calculated storyline. It garnered a ton of interest. They did it very well. The thing with the new belts is, I guarantee you, Mattel has the plans for the new belt and already has the miniature of it with toys and is just waiting for it to be released. Like, the WWE doesn't do anything without having the merchandise ready to be put on shelves. They don't.
Right.
They just don't. So if you have Punk and Cena tweeting and making comments about wanting a new belt, somebody from on high has said, all right, go ahead, let's start garnering interest for this.
There was a story on WWE.com about creating, you know, getting rid of the spinner belt.
Is there?
There is. That's where the punk quote came from.
And again. I can book this shit blindfold, folks.
Oh, there you have it. Moving on to the next topic.
Thank SRG. You, Rock.
Yeah, there you go. SRG Films has bought the rights to the Matthew Randazzo's book, Ring of Hell, the story of Chris Benoit and the fall of the professional wrestling industry.
If they're going to do that, I don't want it to be an actual movie. I want it to be a documentary.
Well, that would be good. That it would be a documentary.
I've already something
like this dramatized for entertainment purposes, which is what it would be. Anything dramatized is for entertainment purposes would be so totally off the fucking mark. It would just sicken me.
No,
yeah, I can't say this is a movie.
No, there were some of the boys who were on Facebook this weekend talking, and they were talking about this story, and they were asking, well, who would you cast as Chris Benoit? And you can't. It would be like making a movie about the O.J. murders or the
I just wanted to throw this in because it ties up with what you're saying. They're already underway with talks with potential actors and directors, dude.
It would be like making a film about the Manson murders, dramatizing. You can't do that because
they did. They called it Helter Skelter.
They've done it a bunch of times. At one point, there were three movies about Amy Fisher and Joey Buttafuoco, but this is just too creepy in my mind. I don't know about Spugger Omega.
It's not that it's too creepy. It's not that it's too creepy. My whole point that I've been trying to... You cannot do this for the simple fact of when you start dramatizing events like this, you're going into an entire world that you know nothing about. Not a fucking clue. And you're only going to either make yourself and the actors in the movie look stupid, or you're going to do a complete disservice to the victims in this story who have done nothing wrong but other than be at the grip of a madman. So if you want to do it right, do it as a fucking documentary.
I am thoroughly convinced that Chris Benoit had suffered some kind of serious personality altering trauma over the years. It wasn't as a sudden thing like I've heard a lot of people think. Well, it just happened, like, you know. No. This was a slow build up. I wouldn't be surprised to hear ultimately that he also suffered schizophrenia.
I think he was bipolar, to be quite honest with you.
He sure had a lot of the symptoms of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He did. So this is going to be interesting.
If that movie got made, I would avoid it.
We're going to have to keep a close eye on exactly what they're doing with this movie anyway. So, next up, Skip Sheffield completed his first match in over a year at Saturday's Raw live event in Sunrise, Florida. Former Nexus member who's been sidelined since he had his ankle broken on August 18th, 2010, in Honolulu, Hawaii. Is this a good thing he's gotten his way back or what? Does it matter now?
Good for him.
Yeah, it's good for him. His momentum is completely gone at this point, but, you know.
Good for him.
And that's how you repackage.
How do you rebuild him? You know, how do you repackage Skip Sheffield?
Get rid of the name Skip for starters.
Put him under.
Let him go back to the Ryback Reeves thing he was doing.
Put him in a costume and call him Penis Man.
Now that's the Johnsons. Thanks for coming.
There you go.
Yeah, Yeah, we don't need Beaver Cleavage Part 2.
Yeah, I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe it was him that had worked for Deep South Wrestling under the name of Ryback Ryan Reeves or Silverback. You come up with a whole bunch of things for him. It's just a matter of Stephanie and Ed Koski and Guy Wertz getting off their butts and going, all right, what do you want to call this guy?
There you go, yeah. So,
yeah, Scott Fishman was at that event. You can follow him on Twitter, SM Fishman.
Well, tell you what, we are now going to go to the WTR Great Debates.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Role Boulevard. You better get your ass serious because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in through 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the Rock just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what the Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what the Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Yeah, there it is. Sort of look at the greatest rivalries of all time. Tonight, the Four Horsemen versus the Legion of Doom takes on the Dudleys, Hardys, Edge, and Christian. Also, Terry Funk McFoley takes on Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka. And we are going to start with Terry Funk, McFoley, Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka, and we'll go to Omega.
Gotta go with Monk, with Funk and Foley on that one.
Monk and Moley?
Monk and Moley, yeah.
There you go.
No, Terry Funk and Mick Foley.
Isn't that somebody, how somebody with a hair lip would call him?
Gaw.
Oh, did I go there? Go ahead, Omega.
Oh, boy.
Sweet.
Yeah, no two guys willing to tear themselves up more. And it's also one of those feuds that was kind of finite since we saw them teaming up in WWE, even if Terry Funk had pantyhose on his head at the time.
Okay, so basically your vote's for Funk Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Or for those who haven't had the surgery yet.
Funk Foley.
Send all hate mail to tim.stein at russelltalkradio.com.
The views and opinions of Tim Stein do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
But you never know. Okay, Spug.
Yes?
Your turn.
Because
Chuck Norris says you have to.
Shut up,
Tim. Chuck Norris's cartoon suck.
I said that because I know he's fucking playing World of Warcraft right now.
Actually, I'm not.
Wow. Or I should say not wow.
Funk and Foley shed blood like no other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great rivalry. But I have to go with Masato Tanaka and Awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. Because that is a feud that started in ECW, went across the globe, came back to ECW, and was going up until Mike Awesome died.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys wrestled everywhere. Okay. All the time. And they were always brutal fucking matches.
Hmm. Okay. So we're tied up at one, Alan. You're going to break the tie.
This one. Well, this one's easier than the next one you got me asked. Oh, God. I'm going with Funk Foley just because look at the death matches these guys had over in Japan. I'm going through at it in America. Tanaka Awesome, from what I saw recently, thanks to DVDs, was a very entertaining feud. But Funk Foley is just, it's one of the iconic hardcore feuds. If you ever wanted to do the hardcore DVD history of, that's the first feud you have to have on the DVD, because you know, these are two guys that literally burned each other, were in rings where C4 was involved. So I go with Funk Foley.
Okay. And before, hold on, before Tim chimes in with him to put him on the hot seat, just for the chair shots alone, Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka was my pick. Now we'll go to Tim and let him break the tie.
Okay, well, you know, Awesome Tanaka, sure, but for me it's set in stone, Funk Foley, and the reason for that is because, for me, that's the more memorable feud. It's, you know, bloody battle, and how much blood did these guys spill with each other? So, there's my pick, Funk Foley. And your tie has been broken, fucker.
Gotta make it a little bit of a debate.
Yeah, fucker. Okay, here, you want a debate? Four Horsemen Legion of Doom versus Dudley Hardy's, up against Edge and Christian. And we'll start with Alan.
Damn. Only cause I'm a mega mark for the group. The Horseman versus LOD.
And
it was the feud of the 80s. You could plug, I mean, you're saying with LOD, you had Arn Tully as great matches, and then you plugged in, you had Flair take on Hawk at a few Great American Bashes. And you could plug in other people into that feud. I mean, War Games 87 was, the Bash 87 was that feud, and it went all over the country and was selling out stadiums. Hardy's, Edge Christian, Dudley's were a couple memorable, very memorable matches at pay-per-views, but that was it, and they were spot fests. And if you talk to all of those guys, they'll agree. We did a trick here. We did another trick here. Okay, 1, 2, 3, we're all going to fall into these real big tables and everything. But maybe it's just me being the old fart in the room. I'm going with the old school NWA feud. So the rest of you can bash me with chairs. Go right ahead.
There you go. Okay, Spug, you next.
The Horsemen. ENC and Hardy's is good, but it will never compare to what the Horsemen and LOD did. Never.
LOD. Okay. That was short and sweet. Omega!
See, it's a little unfair because, you know, you look at, you know, Dudley's, Edge and Christian, Hardy Boys, that's, you know, technically three feuds going on at the same time. They had this unique chemistry where any of the teams could face each other and it was entertaining, and then he put all three in the same match, and it was incredible to watch. You know, you did have a lot more going on, and you know, in a way, that's kind of the, you know, it's not the golden age of tag team wrestling; it's the silver age of tag team wrestling right there. You know, because that's the last time, you know, there was any focus on tag team wrestling. You know, when you had three teams that could go up against each other and have absolutely, you know, a good match no matter which two you picked. That said, here we go. It's been said. I mean, they had good matches, but matches does not a feud make. It makes them entertaining to watch, but it doesn't make them compelling. You know, that's where you have the Legion of Doom and LOD. Mm-hmm. And the Four Horsemen. Just, God, see there, you know, there you go, Golden Age. You know, there's your great times of tag team wrestling.
So, there it is. Go ahead, chime in, Rock.
No, I'm good, I'm good.
No, chime in. Make your pick.
I would go with the three teams, Dudley Hardy's and Edge and Christian.
Yeah, you're just doing that to fuck around.
No, I actually was, that was going to be my, you know, my choice.
Okay. Well, I have to call it no brainer, the Horseman versus LOD. Rush, as it were.
Can Rock play the real clip of that?
No, I don't have a real clip lined up at the moment.
Got a pretty good one from an interview we did.
That's in a commercial that says another, you know, no. another, you know, name for a show, kind of.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that
scandal.
One. Yeah, actually, no, that one. He never actually said that he screwed up the name of the show, so we can still use that one. But anyway,
lawsuits will come up if you use it, though, won't it?
No.
What's next? What's next on this thing?
That's this week's great debate. What's next week, Tim?
Yeah. Next week, we have the WCW versus the NWO. And they're going up against Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Not fair.
Why not? Why is it not fair?
You suck!
No, seriously, why is it not fair?
That's too hard.
Why is it too hard?
That's what she said.
Thank you.
Oh, you're just setting them up for that.
Yes.
And the other one's Chris Jericho versus Triple H taking on Ric Flair versus Sting.
Yeah.
Woo.
But that's next week.
No, I want to do it now.
No, that only works. That only works.
I was Spug that wanted to do that last time I was here.
That only works with Spug.
Why does it only work with Spug? Yeah, there you go. I want to do it now.
No,
there's two of us.
No, no. We're just gonna do this.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
And we're going to start with the one, the only, the Omega. Omega, did you see what John Cena wore in Japan?
Yeah, I did.
What was your first reaction? What was your first
what
reaction?
Your first?
Tim's echoing.
I didn't know the sunburnt zebra was native to that country. What the hell? You know, like, we finally got rid of the jean shorts, and now he decides to go completely what the fuck.
Keeping you
on
the
toes. At least he didn't wear a kimono.
A kimono would have been funny. This was confusing. It looked like he came out in his pajamas.
Oh, you know, they didn't lose luggage, so he had no choice.
Yeah, excuses.
That's literally my first thought. Why the hell did John Cena come out wearing his pajamas?
Okay. Let's move to Alan Wojcik. Alan, what was your favorite part of this past Thursday night's Impact, since you're the only one who probably watched it?
Other than the 31 minutes and 2 seconds of wrestling?
Thank
God.
Good job of keeping track.
The main event was fun. I enjoyed watching Rude, Styles, and Hardy. And it gave Bobby 2 more feuds to go into eventually, because if you read things right, Hardy's versus Jarrett at the pay-per-view, and if Hardy wins, he's the next up to get a shot at Rude, or Styles, whoever wins that 30-minute man iron match, and nobody from the 1980s is involved in that match, so that's pretty cool for me.
Ooh, cool.
Cool.
Well, Triple J did wrestle in the 80s, but he doesn't count.
Okay, Spug, how would the wrestling business be, you know, different if Stone Cold stayed in ECW and was the ECW champion?
I don't think it changes, because I think that company still goes bankrupt, and you just have everything that happened with Austin happen later.
Maybe he avoids getting a broken neck.
That might be the only thing that happens. Is that. But I think that his popularity doesn't change.
Okay. Tim, since you're...
Oh, wait. Before you ask me, I got something for Alan. Alan?
Tim?
Listen now.
Thank you.
Are you happy now?
Yes, very.
Okay. Go ahead, Rock.
You know, you have to pull out... You're pulling out clips, really, Tim?
Just get on with it, bitch.
See, I was going to pull out a different clip, but I forget that one then. Anyway, no, because I was going to pull out a clip that, you know, you can't laugh at and make fun of. Here, I'll play this one.
Oh, what a rush!
Ah! Make fun of that!
I don't think that one's good, dude.
Yeah, you can't make fun of that one. Anyway, Tim, you're a promoter now, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
No way. Really?
Yeah, you are. Go to CanadianAllPro.com for to get information for this Thursday's event. Since you know you're doing a show called Holiday Havoc, create a holiday-themed gimmick match.
God damn you.
Putting you in the booking seat.
I've seen one done here in Florida. But I'm not going to help them.
I know.
We put a Christmas box at the top of a pole in every corner,
and each box has a weapon in it. And you have to unwrap the box.
There's a hardcore. There's a promotion down here called FOW that did something similar to that, where there was the Christmas tree near ringside had gift boxes that all had weapons in them. So there you go. We just booked your thing, Tim. Awesome!
Oh, there you go. Sinus. I don't have to answer anymore.
No, don't give him help. He has to come up with his own.
Fuck. Okay, who's in the ring? Guys or gals?
Here a lot.
Guys.
Damn it. Oh, there goes taking the fucking
give
way
him
out.
Kill my girls.
No, because that makes it too easy on them. Try to make this difficult.
Bastardo! In case you don't speak Italian, I called you a bastard. Wow. Fuck. Book a Christmas gimmick match. Sure, ask a guy who doesn't celebrate Christmas.
I said a holiday-themed gimmick match.
He just admitted he was a Jew.
No, he did just admit he was a Jew.
I did not. Don't paraphrase what it fucking said. I said I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm an atheist.
He celebrates.
Dreidel.
I made you a...
There's your match.
Yeah, dreidel match.
You know, you could do something simple like call it Deck the Halls cage match. You put weapons up on a cage. It's decking the halls with weapons.
No. It's a deck the balls match. Just give them golf clubs. First to 10 wins.
Okay, well, for the holiday season, let's take a look at all of the symbols. For the Jews, you've got the menorah. For the Christians, you've got the Christmas tree, right? What else is there?
Kwanzaa.
Wreaths.
Kwanzaa? What does Kwanzaa have?
They have some sort of candle holder thing.
Some sort of fucking candles.
Fruit
okay, what else?
Something.
A fruit basket, and, you know, they have six, like, or seven...
Peanut brittle.
Religious things they, you know, try to celebrate.
Represent every major world religion that celebrates the winter solstice, which is what fucking Christmas is to begin with.
Oh.
Take those symbols, put them up on poles. The first one to that one gets to use all the symbols as weapons.
You did not just make a politically correct hardcore match.
Yep.
Wow, that was dumb.
Yep.
United Nations Christmas.
Because I'm not booking a fucking Christmas gimmick match. Now move on.
No, just get all, you know, I'll take Tim's idea. You get all different things, a Christmas tree, menorah, and all that stuff. Call it a holiday ball and just beat everyone up with different weapons.
Oh, God, fuck that.
Spoken like a true Jew.
We're with Alan. Alan, give us one reason why we should be excited about next week's TNA pay-per-view.
It's the
Iron
last
Man
one
match
this
is
year.
Be a lot of fun.
What was that?
I'm I'm booking on the 30-minute Iron Man match. I'm real interested to see what Rude and Styles can do here. And Kid Cash Austin Aries, I think, is going to be fun, too, to see who's going to out-heal the other. Because if you haven't seen their promo from this past Thursday's Impact, and judging from the ratings, a lot of you haven't, find it. It was a really good promo.
Okay. Omega, what is your favorite all-time wrestling event, entrance setup?
Wrestling event entrance setup?
Yes.
You're asking me about stages.
Stages. Not stage who the guy was on OTL, not him and his,
Oh, God. You just had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, I did.
Just because he's a prick.
Oh, jeez.
What a prick, what a prick, what a prick, prick, prick.
They got me thinking about crap again.
Buddy prick, buddy prick, buddy prick, prick.
Prick, 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 prick. This is hard.
As you think.
Like, yeah, because I'm trying to think of what all stages, what they all look like, and I don't have any of the recent WWE games to get a bajillion of them.
And
what did the chicken call Rock? Brick, 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 brick.
And Tim, to me, you're just a big giant.
Oh, horse wiener. Ah! The one good thing he ever said.
No, I'm not letting you get away with that.
So, Omega, come on.
God damn it.
You want me to go to Spug for a question, then come back to you?
Go to yeah.
Spug, what wrestler wouldn't you want to be stuck in a car with?
Steven Styles, the Mexican Canadian. That's my answer.
Yeah, that's fine. Back to you, Omega.
Oh, God.
Like the classic Raw said, or Nitro, Thunder.
Oh, yeah, like I remember what the Thunder stage looked like. Why might as well ask me what the Shotgun Saturday Night stage looked like.
I think my personal favorite set was WrestleMania 21, the one from Hollywood. Like, that was awesome.
God, now I'm trying to remember which one it was, because
it's fun putting Omega on the spot.
No, it's not. I'm trying to think now.
Tim's fucking.
I've got an echo in my head, so it's not helping.
Tim's trying to find a clip to play. That's why he's fucking around. The sound.
Echo, echo, echo.
It's gone now.
Weird, because there's ones in my head, and I can't even remember if they're real or not. It's probably I'm probably going to end up going with the WrestleMania 22 set, the giant skyscrapers setup.
Alright, there you go.
One big Titan, one big Titantron, the little mini windows.
There you go, and we go back to Tim Stein. Tim, if you could have dinner with three legends, who would they be and why?
Living or dead or both, or it is this like,
it
you
does,
know?
It's all time, I think.
All time legends?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me think here. Legend number one, Stu Hart. Okay, now these have to be wrestling legends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Stu Hart would be the first legend, just because the stories that he used to tell were just absolutely great.
They're fantastic. You learn a lot listening to Stu Hart. Legend number two. Penny Banner.
Interesting.
Penny Banner, yeah. She was a pioneer in women's professional wrestling. Sure, Moolah got all the attention, but, you know, comparing the two careers, Penny didn't get the recognition she deserved, but she really lived the life like you would not believe when she was around. So she would have been interesting to... And the third one... Oh, shit. I'm having a hard time picking a third one.
So this is a two-hour show, isn't it?
It was.
We're 9 minutes over.
It's quick hits. But Omega killed that.
No, you killed that. Because you thought it was funny to make me squirm.
Well, it was.
Not when dead air comes into it.
That's why we have background music.
It was still fun. Oh, fuck. Legend number three. Yeah, I'm having a bit of a hard time with the third one. Because I can't think of anybody. I have to think of, you know, everybody.
Just say Bret Hart and get over with.
I'm not going to say Bret Hart.
Ric Flair?
Nope.
Roddy Piper?
Nope.
Mick Foley?
Nope.
Vince McMahon?
Oh, yeah, Vince. Fucking pick his brain.
On how to conquer the wrestling world.
Absolutely. And by the way, Rock, in the words of Omega,
go suck my dick.
Exactly.
My 1-inch long, incredibly tiny dick.
Took you long enough to find the clip.
Oh, I found the clip ages ago. I was just waiting for a chance to play the fucking thing.
And in that clip, it made Omega look bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alan, Tuesday.
This Tuesday, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio is the second annual Dimebag Darrell tribute night. If you missed last year's, definitely check out this year's. Spug has a interesting connection to that unfortunate night, December 8th, that Dimebag Darrell Abbott, formerly a Pantera and Damage Plan, was assassinated on stage. This year we're having two folks on. One is Steve Madison. His name is Moose Madison. He is a ridiculously huge Pantera fan. He will also be a part of NWA Ring Warriors. The hardcore giant Ron Namey also will be here. And we just booked for the last of the guests that NWA Ring Warriors is bringing us on December the 13th. Former WWE and TNA star Billy Gunn will be with us. And then there's a bunch of acts, a bunch of gentlemen and ladies from Crossfire Wrestling and ROH that'll be showing up soon. So follow me at My Name is Wojcik on Twitter or My Name is Wojcik on Facebook. And thanks for having me here with you. I gotta go.
Bailing out.
They're all leaving. That fun stuff. Saturday Night Midnight FCB Radio, we talked about how a Kansas hostage sues the victims he held hostage. Yes. Yes. We talked about that. And how a Florida carjacker fails stealing a car because they can't drive a stick shift.
Oh my god, you're kidding.
True story. Plus, we did.
Oh, Florida.
Oh, Florida, you're awesome to us.
Nice going, Phallic State.
Yeah. Plus, we took down Chuck Norris play TV show trivia and all that fun stuff. Check it out. Archive tomorrow on wildtalkradio.com and check us out every Saturday night at midnight-ish.
Yeehaw.
Thursday, Tim. What are we doing Thursday? Or you're doing Thursday?
Thursday night, Holiday Havoc at the Border Crossing. If you're in Calgary or in the Calgary area, get your fucking tickets. Hurry the hell up because going fast, there's like 80 left and that's it. Now, if there were 80 left this afternoon, there's probably like 70 or 65 by now.
And that's, they've been really selling.
They have been going, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Buy
it's
the shirt. Buy the ticket.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy the shirt.
Movie reference. What else do I got to do? Name drop. I'm going to bed.
CanadianAllPro.com.
Yeah, check out CanadianAllPro.com. If you haven't watched it, watch the matches. And, of course, next Sunday night, Russ Talk Radio. Who's going to be on the show? Tune in to find out. Maybe nobody.
It's a TNA night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yep, then nobody.
I'll be here just to talk TNA and the rest of all of you.
Well, that's basically why I said maybe nobody. Tune in to find out. Yeah, we'll be on live after pay-per-view. That's 11 o'clock Eastern. Tune in and see how loudly we can all yawn or groan.
And if you liked what we did tonight, twitter.com/smalltalkradio or facebook.com/smalltalkradio network.
Yeah! Now get the hell out of my ears, bitches.
I walk from my machine.
Omega, get off my lawn!
WildTalkRadio.com